Radio Daily for Turkey Eve. Ooh, switched up a little bit. What?
Oh, gobble, my gobble.
Right? And you can have your stuffings and your things and your crazy and whatever. That's fine. We'll let you do it. It's one of those days. We'll just be happy for anything we get, which will be the Cowboys losing. Welcome! I mean, you got to put it in there. To the 21st of November, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us on Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man, if you show up at his house tomorrow, he's going to give you that same warm greeting he gives everyone. It's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Your visit now is most unwelcome.
Oh, that's how it is in your house. Me? Well, I say the same thing all the time at Thanksgiving. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Where's the mashed potatoes?
You can never have too many. What happened this fine day, sir?
Well, you know, if you have issues with getting enough mashed potatoes, it could mean something. In 1877, Thomas Edison announces the invention of his talking machine, which he later dubs the phonograph. The device can record and play sound using a tin foil cylinder. I believe that was where he used to put all of his conspiracy theories on.
1905, Albert Einstein publishes his paper, Does the Inertia of a Body Depend Upon Its Energy Content? In the journal Annals der Physik. The paper reveals the relationship between energy and mass and leads to E equals MC squared.
See, told you. Easily answered. 1969... Maybe it's because I've got over 100 years of experience reading it. 1969, the first permanent ARPANET link is established. After a bit of tweaking between UCLA and the SRI machine at Stanford over a 50 kilobyte per second connection. Ooh.
1983, after 2 years of testing, Time Incorporated announces it will not go commercial with its Time Teletech system, closing it down. Just a day of just sadness.
Well, good thing they had the magazine to fall back on. Right. 1984, Warner Brothers releases the action film Supergirl, directed by a person who did Jaws 2, and starring Faye Dunaway, Helen Slater, Peter O'Toole, Mia Farrow, Maureen Tiefe, Hart Bachner, Peter Cook, Mark McClure, and Brenda Vaccaro.
Yeah, that's right. Mark McClure shows up to make the whole thing fit. 1989, Atari releases the Lynx handheld video game system. It was so much better than the Game Boy. You could play it left-handed or right-handed. They had a gauntlet game that lets you play 16 people simultaneously together.
1990, Nintendo releases the Super Family Computer, the Super Famicom game system in Japan. The system features a 16-bit processor and 512K of RAM. The system comes bundled with the Super Mario World platform game. The system launch was so successful that the Super Famicom will sell out across Japan within 3 days.
Wow. Same day, same year, 20th Century Fox releases the sci-fi film Predator 2, directed by Stephen Hopkins, starring Kevin Peter Hall, Danny Glover, Gary Busey, Ruben Blades, Maria Conchita Alonso, and Bill Paxton.
1996, CBS This Morning reveals the result of the top video games from their annual toy chest. The games were tested in a unique video arcade constructed at the Pacific Science Center in Seattle, Washington. Among the top 10 games are Crash Bandicoot, Project Horned Owl, Star Gladiator, Tekken 2, Toe Ball No. 1, and Twisted Metal 2 for the PlayStation. Super Mario 64 for the Nintendo 64 system took the number one spot in the survey.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah!
1997, New Line Cinema releases the action film... Annihilation, directed by Jim Harley and Eddie, starring Robin Shaw, James Remar, Talisa Soto, Sandra Heiss, Brian Thompson, Lynn Red Williams, giant hamster balls throughout the earth. What the hell were you smoking?
It had good people in it. 1998, Nintendo releases The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the Nintendo 64 in Japan. Ocarina, depending on how you pronounce it.
Yeah. 2000, Jay Leno airs a BattleBots match pitting Chinchilla against Ginsu in Vegas on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, so a reason to actually tune into The Tonight Show back then. Yeah. 2001, Sega reduces the price of the Dreamcast game system in the U.S. from $79.95 to $49.95. Remember when video game consoles used to cost less than $300?
Long time ago. 2003, Gottfried Svartholm, Fredrik Nisja, and Peter Sund launched the Pirate Bay BitTorrent Index in Sweden. By 2008, it'll be one of the most popular websites in the world that I've never heard of.
Yar. 2004, Nintendo releases the Nintendo DS dual screen in Canada and the U.S. See, in two places because it's dual screen.
Ah, is it? 2006, the value of Google stock exceeds $500 for the first time, peaking at $507.52, and it's now worth like a quadrillion or something.
Bing is still worth a ham sandwich.
Birthdays?
Jenna Malone, 34 years old, from Donnie Darko, Saved, Sucker Punch, Hitler, Rise of Evil, Hunger Games, and of course, Veronica Mars.
Nicolette Sheridan is 55 from Spy Hard, Beverly Hills Ninja, and Desperate Housewives.
Cherry Jones, 62, from Signs, The Village, 24, Transparent.
Goldie Hawn is 73 from Laugh-In, Private Benjamin, Death Becomes Her, Snatched.
That's just a small portion.
I left out Overboard, intentionally.
Well, she doesn't remember it either. Lawrence Luckinbill, 84 years old, Cybok in Final Frontier.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1785, William Beaumont, an American surgeon, the father of gastric physiology.
1899, Jobina Ralston, best known for being Harold Lloyd's co-star in six flicks.
She was awesome. 1924, Joseph Campanella from Ben, Silent Running, Meteor, Hangar 18.
1937, Ingrid Pitt from Vampire Lovers, Countess Dracula, Octopussy, and The Wicker Man. No, no, the good one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's only one film called The Wicker Man. And 1944, Harold Ramis from Stripes, Heavy Metal, Ghostbusters, Airheads, High Fidelity. I could keep naming things because he's directed and written a lot more than that. Oh my gosh, dude, we miss you.
100%. In fact, he shaped comedy the way it was. In that time, it was amazing. CBS, we've got a new Survivor SEAL Team in Criminal Minds.
ABC, it's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Modern Family, Single Parents, and a Million Little Things.
NBC has Hollywood Game Night, SNL, a Thanksgiving special.
Is it that special? Fox is showing Empire and Star.
We've got CW, they've got the iHeartRadio Music Festival, Night 1.
I really thought they had gone out of business. Freeform is showing Zootopia.
AMC has Little Drummer Girl, episodes 5 and 6.
Discovery Channel, it's Shangri-La on a new Expedition Unknown. But if it's Shangri-La, I think you know where you're going.
No, you can only go there. You can only watch it once. It won't even save on your DVR. FX has Grown Ups 2. That was a smart joke.
I liked it. FXX Mission Impossible, Rouge Nation, where they all get made up and go out and battle on RuPaul or something.
Well, as opposed to Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, where Tom Cruise has the ability to actually sap the powers and life force from people.
Wow, that's amazing.
IFC Intensive Scare Unit on Stand Against Evil. And Stand Against Evie on a new Stand Against Evil. There's
See?
Two episodes.
They tricked you up there. They threw
did. It.
Sci-Fi Channel Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
BBC America has The Untouchables.
TNT, they're showing London Has Fallen, Olympus Has Fallen, and soon Morgan Freeman will be filming Angel Has Fallen. Right, Richmond Trivia Players?
Well, and what about Help I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up? Science Channel is Thanksgiving Countdown 2018 on a new How It's Made.
Well, you just make the turkey. Tonight, though, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A girlfriend moves to a small suburb with her boyfriend, but when an older lady becomes convinced the woman is her daughter who went missing 20 years ago, she prepares to do whatever it takes to ensure her child never leaves again. Molly Hagan, Richard Brontë-Cassano, and Katie Sawalski star in Long Lost Daughter.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Adrian and Justin are furious when Victor keeps Will from reuniting with Sonny. He's gonna keep trying though, cause Sonny came home with a mission. Sarah invites Eric to Thanksgiving and then they set up a 4-hour slideshow about Holly. Abe and Valerie decide to give a long-distance relationship a chance. And the entire town of Salem just busts out laughing, going, dude, different area codes. Julie and Doug hold Thanksgiving dinner at Doug's place. Doug said it was cool as long as he gets like 3 hamburgers, 1 no pickles, 1 no onions, 1 fish sandwich, 4 fries, and 4 grape sodas. Nickelodeon for life. Hashtag Chabby.
Forever.
Well, no, of course there's not. Because again, everyone's traveling. That's why the roads are so poo today. That's why you should only travel at 3 o'clock in the morning where nothing could possibly go wrong.
And also keep an eye on the skies for any frozen turkeys that may be falling out of the sky.
God is my witness. Thought they could. If you thought they could, or if you know better, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You could tell us your survival stories from that great giveaway moment by dialing the magic voice number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And for the love of God, if you record any Black Friday shenanigans, camera goes sideways.
Shop smart. Shop S-Mart.
tuning into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Brent Barrett.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
The Viewer's Guide to Genre Television.
Welcome, everyone, to a special Supernatural-focused bonus
Hello, everyone,
show.
And welcome to The Fae Fathers,
a family of podcasts for the genre-loving television viewer.
Welcome to Saturday B Movie Reel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Study
welcome
Group.
Welcome to the top genre characters of all-time countdown.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones Season 3.
Find us at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Hi, kids. Space Ghost here, and you are barking a happy tune with Geek Radio Daily.
Oh, what the heck is that?
I don't know, but they sure smell like bad cup of soup.
I'm a good cup of soup, damn it.
I'm a good cup of soup!
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book name.
Indeed it is. Before we take off on our road trips, what are we picking up from the long box?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Cover, number 3 of 6, Harley Quinn, 54, Justice League Dark, number 5. Oh my god, I just thought of Harvey Bullock in a Harley Quinn costume. That should be a thing in a comic. Disgraced FBI agent Richard Wright is offered a chance for redemption when his old mentor sends him undercover to infiltrate a white supremacist group believed to be responsible for the death of a fellow agent in American Carnage. Number 1.
Over at Marvel, it's Marvel Knights 20th, number 2 of 6. Solo, a Star Wars story adaptation, number 2 of 7, because it's going to take that many issues. West Coast Avengers, number 4. But then, with his ability to traverse the universe, the multiverse even, Spider-Man assembles a team to track down a loose end from his past, the fate of the mighty Gog, who I thought was from DC. Get ready for the upcoming film with the standalone adventure featuring some of your favorite spider heroes, Peter Parker, Miles Morales, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Punk, and featuring a special presentation of Spider-Man number 1 from 2016, Miles Morales' first adventure in the Prime Marvel Universe. It is Into the Spider-Verse, the prequel.
By the way, I believe it was Gog's mother that was a DC character. Ma-Gog. Boom Studios, we've got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 31, Smooth Criminals number 1, Steven Universe number 22. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got George R. Martin's A Clash of Kings number 14, which is the reason why we don't have the new book yet. We've got Mars Attacks number 2, Xena number 10, and the brand new Queen of England has mysteriously vanished. The British intelligence needs a helping hand from the world's greatest model spy. Can Betty the First find Elizabeth the Second before the news gets out and panics all of Great Britain? Are UFOs involved? Find out in Betty Page number 1.
Must read that. Archie Comics, it's Archie number 700 and Jughead the Hunger number 10. Over at IDW Publishing, Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers number 4. Yeah. Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive 2 or 4. Real Science Adventures, The Nicodemus Job, number 5. But, you know, GoBots, they've changed our way of life. Leader 1, a self-aware fighter jet on a hostage rescue mission with his partner, Commander Nick Burns. Scooter, the personal transport and best friend to undergrad A.J. Foster. Turbo, Matt Hunter's transforming race car in the hottest sport in America, GoBot racing. And, of course, Psykill, the champion of the illegal underground GoBot fighting league. Learn all about this, or not, in GoBots, number 1.
Wouldn't GoBot racing be like, I don't know, like, wouldn't PETA shut that down or something? It seems wrong. Dark Horse, we've got Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 7, Crimson Lotus, number 1, Whispering Dark, number 2, and January Lee is of royal descent, part of the ruling class that lives out their lives on an accelerated world, where a single day is a lifetime on a normal planet. But her holy ailment, which allows her to see the truth behind the primogenitor's lies, marks her for banishment to the outer worlds in Lightstep. What, no Gordon? Number 1.
Over at Danger Zone, it's Double Jumpers, Full Circle Jerks, number 3 of 4. Over at Image, it's Exorcisters, number 2. New World, 5 of 5 wraps up. Savage Dragon, number 240. But the lands between the coast are vast, slow to change, and full of hidden magics. Mistakes have been made, and an unwitting adventurer searches for answers to quell a coming storm that knows his name. Abel, a young boy who must navigate an old land in order to reconcile his family's history in Middle West, number 1. Thought that was going to be a much more interesting name.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Hey, fellow Amazon Prime members.
Remember, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link it to your Twitch account and get a free sub that you can use on me at twitch.tv/Richie Munster. That's with a U-E.
Ooh, I wanted a sub. Wow, streaming has changed you, man. Anyway, Amazon is offering an exclusive early showing of Warner Brothers' Aquaman on December 15th, 6 days before the film technically opens in North America.
So like an early tide?
Sure. Amazon launched the promotion that lets Prime members purchase up to 10 tickets through Atom Tickets for showing at more than 1,000 Regal, AMC, Arclight, Cinemas, National Amusements. Amazon, Atom, and Sony teamed up last December on a similar thing where Amazon Prime members got to see Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle 12 days before the film opened. Atom Tickets, founded in 2014 by Matthew Bacall, Amish Pija, Jeff Shavitz, as a way to make moviegoing more of a social experience. It lets you organize trips to the movies from paying to tickets for selected seats with a group of friends. Major studios kicked in $50 million in backing from 20th Century Fox, Lionsgate, and Disney. If you go, please keep this old adage in mind. Make sure you eat your snacks an hour before going into the theater to avoid cramping.
Thanks to the Library of Congress, the earliest known film adaptation of Frankenstein, one of the foundational texts of science fiction, is now restored and available online. Mike Michon.
Mikey Mason is doing a new score for it while doing a Sean Connery impression? Awesome!
No. Mike Michon.
Oh.
Head of the moving image section of the Motion Picture Broadcasting and Recording Sound Division of the Library of Congress walks readers through the process of acquiring and restoring one of the only surviving prints of the 13-minute 1910 silent film, the first known film adaptation of the story and one of the most well-known films lost of all time. Besides, I think Mikey Mason would do a fantastic Sean Connery impression, and I wish he'd do more songs like that. But this film comes to us from the Edison Manufacturing Company and starts with a title card that describes the flick as a liberal adaptation of the story. After acquiring the reel in 2014, the library has restored it in digital format, and it's available to watch on their website. In fact, you should check the shows for the link to see the reanimated film about reanimation. We'll wait. All right, now that everybody has seen it, I have to say that as cool as the reverse shot of the creature's body stitching itself together is, it is a very odd adaptation. Edison explains the changes by saying, "Hey, in making the film, the Edison Company has carefully tried to eliminate all the actually repulsive situations and concentrate on its endeavors upon the mystic and psychological problems that are to be found in this weird tale. However, the film departs from the original story, and it is purely with the idea of eliminating what would be repulsive to a moving picture audience."
So, kind of like a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Coming to theaters this holiday season.
Kinda. Of course, this just goes to show that Edison always took what worked and removed the best parts so he could call it his own creation. Well, rather fitting that, of course, it was Frankenstein.
There's something unusual and very, very hot going on beneath the ice sheets of Antarctica.
You mean besides Kurt Russell's McCready? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Dude, you really got to stop with the Wilford Brimley slash fic. A new study has shown that the Antarctic ice sheet at the South Pole has a giant hotspot triple the size of London under its bedrock. The freakishly hot zone is not likely to melt away Antarctica anytime soon, but researchers note the extreme heat has caused a 100 by 500 kilometer area of ice layers to sag and droop downward. And it's not just age. It's unknown how long the hotspot has been there, but it's nothing new. Researchers estimate it's been there thousands of years, maybe even millions if you carry the one. That said, the outside environment is changing fast, and with global temperatures continuing to rise, this portion of Antarctic ice might become especially vulnerable to melting. In the future, the extra water at the ice sheet bed may make this region more sensitive to external factors such as climate change, said Dr. Tom Jordan from the British Antarctic Survey. You think he'd be British. It's thought that the heat is being generated by unusually radioactive rocks in the Earth's upper crust, as well as geothermically heated water coming from deep under the ground. However, truth be told, scientists are not certain about this as they can't access the rocks.
How far away are they from Addis Ababa? Kryptonian geologist nerds, you're welcome.
The British Antarctic Survey team reached the conclusion by using radar data collected from an aircraft to peer through 3 kilometers of ice, providing them with all kinds of insights into the thickness, structure, and conditions of the ice sheet and its layers. The project also sought to fill in the gaps of an incredible European Space Agency mission that used gravity mapping satellite data around the South Pole to peer at the Earth's lithosphere beneath the ice. The results were outstanding. As documented in a recent study of their work, they managed to discover a patchwork of long-lost continents and geological features on the Earth's lithosphere. And something that looks like a dog, flower, spider, Venus flytrap kind of thing.
NASA has announced the landing location of its upcoming Mars 2020 rover.
Is it Acidalia Plantia?
Jezero Crater.
Can you grow potatoes there?
Well, NASA's opted for the Jezero crater and its potential ancient river delta. A delta is extremely good at preserving biosignatures, said Ken Farley, Mars 2020 project scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and man who lives in a van down by the river. If life ever existed on the red planet, perhaps its remnants were swept up in the river and deposited at the delta, which explains why he knows so much about rivers. Not only would a delta provide potential records for ancient life, but it would contain several different kinds of very old rocks that a river would have swept up and deposited that could present a fuller view of Mars' history and composition. There also appears to be evidence of ancient volcanic activity at the location, Farley explained on a press call. And while we're all pining for a sign from the possibly dead Opportunity rover, Martian science continues onward. Just last week, the European Space Agency unveiled the preferred landing location for its own ExoMars rover, an area called Oxia Planum. No doubt this will spawn a reality show title, Get Your Ass Out of Mars, coming in 2020 to Fox.
Stan Lee's company, POW Entertainment, has released an open letter to Bill Maher regarding his comments about comic books and specifically his opinion about former Marvel Comics editor and publisher Stan Lee's contributions to the medium.
Good. That guy's a knob for what he's said both here and in the past. What, did they challenge him to a not-so-secret war? God, I'd love that.
If you didn't know, Bill Maher posted this on his blog. The guy who created Spider-Man and the Hulk has died, and America's in mourning, deep, deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to, I don't know, watch a movie, I guess, he wrote. Someone on Reddit posted, I'm so incredibly grateful I lived in a world that included Stan Lee. Personally, I'm grateful I lived in a world that included oxygen and trees, but to each his own.
Making fun of nerds. What a super edgelord. He also said, I don't think it's a huge stretch to suggest that Donald Trump could only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important. Jesus, that's a bigger stretch than Mr. Fantastic reaching for the remote whenever Mars starts saying something gross about Muslims. She Beneflex appearance, true believers.
The statement admits that the noted political commentator and television host is entitled to his opinion that comics are childish and unsophisticated, citing that people said the same thing about other great writers throughout history like Charles Dickens, William Shakespeare. Regardless, the statement does not mince words in regards to Mayer's comment that Stan Lee, who created a great majority of the characters Marvel Comics is known for, merely inspired people to watch a movie and characterized their comment as frankly disgusting.
Frank has nothing to do with this. See, that's how you make a low-hanging fruit joke that's funny and isn't hateful, Mar. Take a lesson.
The statement notes that countless people learned to read through comics or found a greater appreciation for humanity found through their favorite heroes or villains. It also pointed out that Lee's stories gave hope and inspiration to the misunderstood and creative souls of multiple generations. The struggles found in comics were relatable to anybody, regardless of whether they were an adult or child. Stan is remembered as the author of millions of happy childhood memories and the provider of so many of the positive tools of adulthood.
Comics don't hurt anyone. They teach us that it's okay to be different or that you don't have to agree with someone to respect their opinion. And that if you say that someone who believes in a deity has a neurological disorder, you're not just a jerk, you're the bad guy.
The statement reminds Maher of the power of his media presence and that he should adhere to one of Lee's greatest lessons by acknowledging the great responsibility that comes along with that power. They also close with a classic, "Nuff said, Bill."
Yeah, who needs to try to write actual smart comedy when you can just be a classless, uncouth dickhead?
See, POW Entertainment had a much nicer way of saying it. We're a lot less classy when we say,
that is what we call a dick move.
Or I guess we can start calling it a Mar move. A Mar move. Ooh, I had a Mar movement. Oh my goodness. Oh, it got all nasty up in here. GRD is nice with the Creative Commons Distribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works. Nice, thanks for the license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Some of the website at geekradiodaily.com. Hey, Bill, remember when you were in, like, this show on Showtime where you were a private detective with your buddy and it lasted, like, a season? Do you remember that? I'm just asking. Have your own opinion, but don't be a jerk about it. Choose love.
Yeah, what I remember? Yeah. I remember when Bill Maher was good.
There you go. Drop us a note and tell us about your fond Bill Maher memories, won't you? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can send it by voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
In the meantime, we'll just say things like,
what do you think? It stinks!
Your attitude, Bill. That's what we're talking about, man. Your attitude, dude.
Man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall, I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite. What to say?
Not the girl, Peter. It's the building. Something terrible is about to enter our world, and this building is obviously the door. The architect's name was Ivo Shandor. I found it in Tobin's spirit guide. He was also a doctor. Performed a lot of unnecessary surgery. And then in 1920, he started a secret society.
Let me guess.
Gozer worshippers.
Right.
No studying.
After the First World War, Shandor decided that society was too sick to survive. And he wasn't alone. He had close to 1,000 followers when he died. They conducted rituals up on the roof. Bizarre rituals intended to bring about the end of the world. And now it looks like it may actually happen.
Hold it! Now we're actually going to go before a federal judge and say that some moldy Babylonian god is going to drop in on Central Park West and start tearing up the city?
Sumerian, not Babylonian.
Yeah, big difference.